Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. This is one of many scriptures that are included in your study notes today. And don't be alarmed by all those different points today. We'll cover what we can. The rest, if you want to study something this week, why, there's plenty of things you can look up and learn more about, too. Anyway, 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're actually going to read the first 8 verses. Now, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose, and he ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and he slept under the broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him, and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he rose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. An amazing story, to be sure. We'll talk a little bit more about it later in our message today. This past week, we received a publication from Moody Bible Institute that we receive on a regular basis. And there's all sorts of wonderful little devotionals and so forth there in this publication. But one of the things that I read about was quite sad, and yet it was also encouraging to see how God's people can continue to endure even in hard times. Now, we all have hard times, do we not? We all have times when things might almost seem just like the prophet said here, like things are greater than we can possibly bear. It seems that in the country of India, a country that is very much opposed in many ways to Christianity, there are Christian missionaries there, to be sure, and Christian organizations that work there, but still, there is a lot of persecution going on as well. And there was a group of believers who worked very hard, and it took almost a year, but they were able to build a church building there, and they were worshiping there faithfully. But one day, some of the local people that were opposed to Christianity came and destroyed in one day the work that had taken an entire year. And you look at that and you say, where was the Lord in all of that? Why didn't the Lord stop those people? Well, I think one of the reasons that the Lord sometimes allows things like that is because of what follows thereafter. The church was destroyed, and the people were discouraged, even as the prophet was, but nonetheless, they weren't so discouraged that they quit worshiping God. In fact, the very next week after the church had been destroyed, they were right back in the same place again, not in a building this time, but meeting outdoors, and they were worshiping on the same site where they had worshiped God before. Now that's courage, that's conviction. That's somebody that continued to trust God even in the difficult times. But you know, sometimes it can be hard, and we need God's help, and certainly the prophet was in that kind of a situation too. He had been a faithful man of God. He had taught faithfully, and God had used him in a powerful way. Remember, This is the man who, with the help of God, literally not only brought rain back into the land when there had been no rain for over 3 years, but on top of that, he was the man also, with the help of God, who called down fire from heaven and consumed the meat on an altar that was there, that even though it had been doused with many buckets of water, yet God demonstrated that the Lord is God and none of the false gods of the that the people of Israel were trying to worship. But you know what happened, of course. Elijah also commanded that the prophets of Baal be done away with, and Jezebel, who was very much supporting them, very much was opposed to Elijah now, and she's out to kill him. And isn't it amazing? Here's a man that just one day is calling down fire from heaven. The next day, when he gets a message from the queen that says, listen, you're a dead man. You're going to pay for this one. And what did he do? He ran for his life. You say, well, how could he be so courageous on one point that literally he could call down fire from heaven and confront these prophets of Baal boldly, and yet the next day he's running for his life? Well, that's what is true of us. We are people who are not only flexible, we are very much emotional in our responses many times, and that's what happened here with the prophet too. He was fearful. He thought that his life was going to end and that he would be destroyed by this woman, that she would be proven to be successful in the end. But you know, even in all of this, God was watching over him. Isn't it amazing? He falls down, tired, worn out from his long journey, and when he wakes up, much to his surprise, an angel is there with water, with food, not just food, but cooked food that had been specially prepared for him. And when he fell back asleep again and woke up a second time, the same thing happened. And you say, well, what is this business about angels anyway? What do we know about angels? Well, as you can see from all these different study notes here, there are tons of things that the Bible tells us about angels. Tony Evans, one of the great writers in the country right now, who's written a lot of great books on theology, has written a book about spiritual warfare, and a large portion of that book deals with the subject of angels. And there's just so many things you can learn about them. We could teach many weeks on that subject alone. Now, we're not going to do that because, as you know, we're looking at 40 main things that are taught in the Bible, and this is just one of the 40. But did you know that over 250 times in the Bible teaches us about angels? I didn't know that until I started putting this message together. 250 times angels are talked about in one way or another. And this is not only amazing that the Bible teaches this, but it's amazing when we study, you know, who they are and the things that they do. Let's take a few moments and look at the first point here this morning, the identity of angels. Who are angels anyway? Well, angels are not God, but they're not human beings either. They're a spiritual group that falls in between the two. Angels are created beings, just like we are, and yet they are created in a special way by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and they have certain characteristics that are above and beyond things that are true about us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is not only all-powerful, but he is one that even created the angels. That's important because when Paul was writing his letter to the Colossians, there were people who were actually falling into the trap of worshiping angels and thinking that somehow angels were part of the way that we could get to God, that it wasn't enough to come to God directly through Jesus Christ, but that somehow people needed to go through angel messengers and so forth to be able to reach God. And Paul puts that to rest, that heresy, and reminds them that Jesus is far superior to any angel because Jesus even created the angels. The Bible in 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us that angels are greater than man in power and in might. Now that's amazing, because the Bible says that you and I as human beings are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at all the things that human beings can do. The other night we happened to have dinner with a big family get-together up in Hamilton. We stopped at the Trestle Stop restaurant there, and we got to talk to a lot of the family members that we don't see very often. And there was a gentleman there that he works with wood and creates these amazing artistic pieces of wood, designs amazing things. What was so amazing, too, not that long ago, about 10 years ago, he had a stroke. And he had to totally relearn a whole lot of things. And at one time, he had been right-handed, but now, because of that stroke, he had to do what he was doing with his left hand. And yet, you look at that man and the amazing things that he could do. Beautiful pieces of artwork. People were not only buying these, but putting them on public display. There's some right there in the restaurant where we were eating. Amazing what God has given the ability to people to do. And yet, the Bible says that angels are even greater than that in power and in might. The Bible tells us, too, that angels have great power. How powerful are they? Well, Paul reminds the Thessalonian Christians how powerful they are. The Thessalonians were going through times of persecution. By the way, speaking of Thessalonians, I was speaking to Greg this morning, and he said that that's where he'd like to take the Sunday school class this coming fall, through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I think that would be good. That's a great study right there. But anyway, you know in Thessalonica what was happening. The Christians were young Christians. They weren't very far down the journey in their Christian walk, and yet they were amazingly productive. Paul says, I know your faith, and I know your love, and I know your hope, how even in the midst of persecution, you're still hopeful. They were just like the people that I talked about a moment ago in India. Tremendous hope. But Paul also said, someday, when things are really bad, and the Christian world is going through amazing persecution, at that time, God is going to come and rescue his people. He will take them before the coming wrath that is coming. He will provide rest, and he will do this for believers on earth who are going through persecution. Paul said, if you're going through persecution in those days, as bad as it may be, don't be surprised when all of a sudden Jesus suddenly appears and he takes his people out of that and brings them into a position of glory. It's amazing to see that promise in Scripture. Another thing that's true about angels is that they do not marry and they do not die. All right? Now, you can see right here that there is one of the differences between angels and human beings. As human beings, we all are going to die. The Bible says that of us as human beings, it is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment, of course, and then eternity. But you know, that's something to think about. You and I are going to die no matter how long we live. There was a lady a number of years ago that lived at the Friendship Village where I worked. She had the same birthday as me, and I could always remember when her birthday was because I remembered mine. But I think she was 107 when she died. And it's quite amazing because all those years of her life, she was mentally sharp. She kept, could think clearly, could talk with people clearly. You think, boy, that's amazing. But even living to be 107, the time for her death came. And that's going to happen to us as well. But you know what? Angels never die. God created them before he created the rest of creation. The Bible said that when God created the heavens and the earth, that angels sang at the creation of the rest of the created order that God made. We often think that, well, what's the first thing that God made? And the Bible says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And that's true. But that's talking about the creation as you and I know it. But before that even happened, God had already created the spiritual beings that we know as angels. And angels sang when God called the world into existence. Now, sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm excited about the fact that one day when I do die, I'm going to be able to go to heaven, and there I'll be rejoined again with the person that I was married to. Yes and no. If your loved one was a believer, then you will see them again. You will be able to fellowship with them again. You will be able to enjoy company with them again. But you will not be married to them again. The Bible says that in heaven, we neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels. Okay? Angels don't marry, and angels don't die. You and I might marry here on earth, and we might die here on earth, unless the Lord comes back first. But the important thing to remember is that one day our life in heaven is going to be a little different than what we know it to be now here in this world. The Bible says, too, that in heaven, of course, that angels are not the proper objects of worship. It's interesting to see that a number of times in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, I believe, has this, and also in at the end of the book of Revelation, also in chapter 22, two different times, something amazing happens, and when it does, there are angels that are involved, and what takes place then? John bows down to the angel. And twice, chapter 1, chapter 22, the angel that he's bowing down to said, don't do that. Stop. Don't worship us. Worship God. Isn't that amazing? Angels are greater in power and might than you or I, and yet they may not be worshipped. Isn't that amazing that in our world today, a lot of times people want to worship themselves, they want to honor themselves, they want to glorify themselves, and yet why would we ever want to worship ourselves? We're not even as great as the angels, and angels know that they shouldn't be worshipped. The only one that deserves to be worshipped is God Almighty. We're not here to honor anybody else here today. We're here to worship the Lord who is worthy. And we see that John clearly was told twice not to do that. Angels, too, come in various ranks. The Bible says that there are angels, which is just kind of a general category. And it also says that there are authorities and there are powers. Now, apparently, there is a line of authority in the angel world that not all angels are the same. Not all angels, for example, are archangels. We know of one for sure, Michael, an archangel. But you know, we don't know an awful lot about how the angel structure is put in place. But clearly, God has established angels in various levels of authority. Angels also are bidden to worship who? The Lord Jesus Christ, just like you and I are. Angels have the same one to look to and believe in and trust in that you and I are called to trust in, Jesus. He is King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Hebrews 1, verse 6 tells us that. They are glorious. And we also know, too, that some of the angels clearly sinned. If you look into this, you will find out that it seems that there is at least one scripture that indicates that when Satan rebelled against God, that about a third of the angels went along with him and decided to follow Satan. But two-thirds did not. Meaning what? That there are far more good angels out there who are still following the Lord than there are fallen angels. Now, what about these fallen angels? Is there any hope of them ever being redeemed or saved? And the answer is they will not be saved. There is no plan of salvation that God has for the angels. If angels have rebelled against him, they are eternally lost. There is no hope of being saved. But you know what? In that regard, we have it far better than angels. Because, you know, though we sin, though we rebel against God, though we turn against him many times and in many ways, yet the Bible says that the wonderful news is that Jesus came into the world to die for us so that we can have full and complete salvation. In that regard, we have it better than angels did. The Bible also tells us, too, that not only did some of the angels sin, but while it teaches us that some are out in the world working today, we know the devil is one of those who is working today. The Bible says that the devil is not bound right now. Some people think that the Bible teaches that he's bound right now. He's really not. He's going to be bound in the future. But right now, the devil's doing what? He's roaming around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the devil's also going around just like a serpent seeking whom he may deceive. He's very active in the world today. But not all of the angels that fell are roaming the world today. Why not? Because some of them are so bad that, according to Scripture, God has confined them so that they cannot go out and do greater damage. If you want to see a good study on this, look at Charles Ryrie's Systematic Theology, a great read also. And his material there on angels has a nice little chart there showing us the good angels, the fallen angels, the ones that are confined, the ones that aren't, and the ones that are confined now but who will be released in the end time to make things a little worse. All of that is mentioned in the Scriptures. What I find most amazing, though, is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, that says that the day is going to come when you and I are going to judge angels. You say, what? How could that be? Well, I don't think there's going to be any need for us to judge the angels that did not fall. But what about the angels who did fall, who did rebel against God? What about the angels who had this wonderful opportunity to actually live in heaven and see it for all of its glory and grandeur and yet still rebelled against the Lord? You know, there was nobody that was closer to God as a creature than what Satan was. His real name was Lucifer. You know what his main job was? You talk about people who are public relations people. Well, I like to think of Lucifer as being a public relations angel. He was the one who his sole job was to constantly bring glory to God. That's all he had to do, is stand in God's presence and honor him again and again and again and again. And he had every reason to honor God because he saw all of his greatness and glory. But you know what? He rebelled. And he took a lot of other angels with him. The Bible said that one day the saints are going to judge angels. Why, by the way, why does that come up, that fact that we're going to judge angels? Here's why. Because in the Corinthian church, people were judging each other and taking each other to court and having lawsuits with each other and all kinds of bad things. And Paul had to stop them and said, look, isn't this rather foolish for you to be doing this? I mean, here you are sitting around here judging others. Don't you realize how foolish that is? Don't you know that someday we're going to judge angels? Why in the world are you sitting around here doing all this stuff to yourselves? He had to warn them about this. So you can see there's a lot of amazing facts that are given to us in the Scriptures about the angels themselves. What else do they do? What are some of the ministries that they have? Well, sometimes they bring necessary material needs to people. We saw that in our Scripture reading this morning, didn't we? When the prophet woke up and found water and food cooked and prepared right there for him. You say, you mean some of the things that come into our lives of a material nature, even though we might not see an angel, that somehow they were involved in it? That's right. The Bible also says, too, that they provide protection for God's people and deliverance from God's people, for God's people. Look at the Acts chapter 12 passage. This is always amazing to me. Just think once, if a church out there somewhere was trying to find a new pastor to come and be their pastor. And they looked around and they investigated a lot of people and, you know, talked to a lot of folks and everything. What would you think if a guy came along and they said, well, you know, what are your qualifications? Well, for one thing, I've been arrested. Oh, really? Well, how did that happen? Well, I was preaching the gospel, and I got arrested. Oh, well, maybe that doesn't sound so bad. Well, how long did your sentence last? Well, I never was really brought to trial or never really had a sentence given to me because I escaped beforehand. Well, what do you mean you escaped? Well, one night I was just, you know, in my prison cell, and all of a sudden an angel showed up and said, come on, get out. Get out now because the plans are to kill you. And I'm not done with you yet. Your time will die, to die will come, but right now it's get out. The door swung open, and Peter walked right out of that prison cell with the doors wide open and the guards sitting right there, and nobody did a thing. Why not? Because an angel of the Lord took him right out. You say things like that can actually happen? Of course they can. You know, it used to be back in the 60s, everybody was down on any kind of traditional spirituality, meaning that anything that was in the Bible they wanted to reject. They were all into the whole contemporary scene with the drugs and all of that stuff. You know what the 60s were like. But you know, nowadays there's a whole lot more belief in spiritual beings like angels and so forth, sometimes for the wrong reasons, because people are going in wrong directions with these ideas. But nonetheless, there's no doubt about the fact that people have more belief today in spiritual beings like angels. And we need to realize that angels are doing things. Do you know that angels even work in high positions of government? Read the book of Daniel. Daniel said to the Lord one day, he said, Lord, there's a problem here, and I'm bringing it to you in prayer. And immediately after he prayed, God said to one of the angels, bring the message down to him and tell him what I'm going to do. Well, you know what? It took, I believe, 14 days before the message finally got from God to Daniel. Well, you say, that's still not too bad, 14 days from heaven to earth. Why? That's pretty good delivery system. But it could have come immediately, except for one thing. The angel who was bringing the message, when he arrived in the kingdom where Daniel was living, he got into a head-on battle with one of the demons that was operating in the government of that kingdom. Demon forces work in governments today. You need to realize that. Now, angels can be working, good angels can be working in government too, to prevent many of the things that bad angels are trying to do. But make no mistake about it, the things that are decided by government are not always done by flesh and blood, that is, by human decisions alone. Sometimes they are operated on by the activity of angels. But you know what? God brought the message through to Daniel and told him what to expect and what to do about it. The Bible tells us something else, too, that maybe you're not aware of. But you know, when Moses received the Old Covenant law at Mount Sinai, he went up on the mountain and God gave him that covenant written on tablets of stone, and that was something that he had a contact with God there. And yet the Bible tells us something else. Not only was Moses the human mediator of that covenant, but angels were the spiritual mediators of that covenant operating for the Lord. The law was given not only from God to Moses, but it was given through angel messengers. That's how that law covenant was given. Maybe you wonder, how could it be that Moses could know all that stuff? I mean, not only did he have the 10 laws written on the tablets of stone, but think about all the civil and the ceremonial and the religious laws that God gave to Israel. How did he possibly know all of that? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Galatians that the law was brought via angels. That was one of their roles that they played. What else do angels do? Oh, I'll tell you, there's something that I like very much, and that is the fact that the angels of God do all sorts of things to help God's people, especially in the future. What's one of the things the Bible tells us about? The Bible says that one day the Lord's angels are going to gather His elect. He's going to gather them from all over the earth. And there's lots of different ways that people interpret this, but whether you take that passage there in reference to the rapture, or whether you talk about it as God gathering Israel from all over the different parts of the world, no matter how you look at it, it's angels who are gathering God's elect people to a place where God wants them to be. Someday, too, when there is the great judgment of the sheep and the goats, when the sheep are separated from the goats and vice versa, when the wheat and the tares are divided too. Who does that? Who carries out the judgment and says, this one is the real thing and this one is not? This is real wheat, this is tares. This one is one of my sheep, this is one of the goats. Who divides all that up? The Bible says that angels do. They're carrying on the aspects of final judgment. Now remember what we said earlier. We're going to have a hand in that someday too. We will judge angels. But nonetheless, angels also have a hand in carrying out judgment. What else do? They take people that are unsaved and cast them, according to Scripture, into a place of fiery judgment. A lot of people don't want to believe that such a place as that exists, but it does exist. And what's more, it's the angel's responsibility to make sure that unsaved people get to that place. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to think about anybody being lost or anybody having to have that happen, but it's going to happen. The Bible said it. The Bible is always, always, always true. Just look at how it continues to unfold and continues to ring true with all of its prophecies and predictions. But you know, there's one other thing I want to close on today. There's something that angels do for us that I take a lot of comfort in this fact. Someday I'm going to die. Someday you're going to die. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But tell me something, do any of you know where heaven is? You say, well, you always read about people going up. Okay, so you go up. How many miles do you go up? How far up do you go? How many, you know, when you hear scientists talk about what a tremendous universe is out there, where in the world is heaven? Do you know where it is? Can you find it? Could you walk out of here today and say, well, I'm going to take off now. I've decided it's time to leave this world, and I want to head on over to heaven. Would you know where to go? Mm-mm. But you know who does? Why? When you want to talk to someone and tell and find out how to get to a certain place, what do? You talk to people that live in that area, don't you? You talk to people that are from that area. I see that so often. People say, well, you know, I'm coming to this place, but I don't know exactly where this is at. Can you help me find that location? And so they give them directions. Hopefully they're good ones. But you know what? The angels don't just give us directions and say, okay, here's what you do. You turn here, you go there, you know, you connect with this. When we die, it is angels who take us from earth directly into the heavenly kingdom that God has for us. We don't have to worry about how to get there. We not only will have a God that takes care of our earthly needs right now and uses angels sometimes to do it, He even takes care of our heavenly needs. He's even going to show us, once we die, how to get there. He'll take us right there. Look at the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man died, he went to a place of torment. When Lazarus, the beggar, died, what happened to him? The Bible says angels took him into Abraham's bosom. You know what? That man, when he died, went to where Abraham, Father Abraham, is now. I'll tell you, it's going to be a great place, folks. The believers from all the centuries past are going to be there, just like the ones that are still yet to be born. Those that are believers in the future, as well as those who have been believers in the past, we're all going to share eternal bliss with God's people from every age, from every stage of life. And you say, how in the world am I going to get to Abraham's bosom? I don't know where it is. Don't worry. God's got angel directors. He'll take you right there. I'll tell you, that's better than taxi service, isn't it? Taxis would run out of gas. Angels. Well, we know that at least one angel made it from heaven to earth in 14 days. And that was when he was being interrupted on earth. I'm sure that God can take us right there. I'm not one bit concerned about how that's going to happen. But I've had people raise questions like that and say, well, you know, I wonder about this sometimes. How could that happen? How could I get there? How will I be there? I mean, listen, the important thing is not to remember to worry about what angel's going to get you there or what method they're going to use to get you there. The important thing to remember is, do you know Jesus Christ? Because he's the one that will get you there. He's the only one who can do it. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, angels worship him, and they work for him, and they honor him. And when he says, it's time for another brother or sister to come home, bring them home, there they go. I don't know anything more about it than that. I wish I did. You don't know how many times I haven't wished to have about 24 hours of discussion with someone like my father who died, or a few other, you know, friends that have gone on before me, and just sit down and say, tell me about it. What's it like? You know, what happens? there's so many questions we have that we don't know. And God just says, hey, just trust me. I've got it covered. And you know what? He will. He that spared not his own son, but offered him up freely for us all, how much more will he not also with him freely give us all things, even heaven itself? Let's pray to God now. Father, we thank you that there are spiritual beings out there that though we do not see them, or at least don't see them very often, we are still impressed to know that they operate for us, that they minister on behalf of the saints even now. But thank God they also minister for you. And that's what makes their ministry for us so effective, because they are serving you. Lord, just as they serve you, help us to serve you always too, to trust in you, to obey you, to walk with you, to love you and to honor you, because we know that you alone are worthy. Thank you for all that you do on our behalf. And we pray this now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.